Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Vardhman Special Steels Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call, hosted by IIFL Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mudit Bhandari from IIFL Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Darwin. Good morning, everybody. On behalf of IIFL Securities, I welcome you all to the earnings conference call for quarter second FY24 for Vardhman Special Steels Limited. We are pleased to have with us Mr. Sachit Jain, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Sanjeev Singla, Chief Financial Officer, Ms. Soham Taneja, Company Secretary, Ms. Soumya Jain, Executive Director, with us. We will have opening remarks from the management, followed by a question-and-answer session. So now I will hand over to Mr. Sachit Jain. Over to you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, a very good morning to you, and thank you for being with us on our call today. In advance, a very happy Diwali to every one of you. Second quarter is also over, and we've had some interesting developments in this quarter. One, the price settlements for the first half got concluded. We got an increase of about 3,000 rupees in Q1 and a reduction of 5,000-6,000 rupees in Q2 from most of the major OEMs that we deal with. Tata and Mahindra gave a zero increase in Q1 and a negative 2,250 reduction in Q2. So net-net, all the adjustments happened in Q2. The other significant development is we shifted over successfully to the GAIL pipeline. Earlier, we had shifted to gas, but we were taking gas from Thinggas in bullets. So the cascade system was a troublesome system. So now we've shifted to a GAIL pipeline. That has successfully happened with a pricing formula linked to Henry Hub Index. So that's a positive. The other big story for us is our development process with Aichi continues. Our approval from Suzuki has come through for some substitution of imported steels, Indian steel. We've also had a visit and audit from a large European OE for export of steel to Europe. This was something very heartening. And again, they got excited with our process of steelmaking, which is a scrap-based recycling of material. And second, with our strategy that we will put up renewable energy in terms of solar power, which would reduce our carbon footprint significantly. Just to remind everybody, our carbon footprint, as we measured, was 0.82 tons of carbon dioxide per ton of steel. Our competitors, who mostly make steel from the blast furnace route, would be in the range of 2.5-3. So we are one-third to one-fourth their level. And once we put up the solar plant that we are intending to, we are at the final stages of completing it, our carbon footprint will drop to about 0.5. So we will be then one-fifth to one-sixth of our competitors. This is something which is attracting a lot of attention. I will not say anything concrete has happened because of this, but with their attention being seen, even with a top OE like Maruti Suzuki in India, so this has become important. So this, plus the circular economy, once where we take scrap from the OE, convert that to steel, and the components then go to the steel to the car maker, and again, the scrap comes back to us. So this kind of circular economy is gaining steam. So these are the few highlights of this quarter. Our EBITDA per ton is though at the bottom end of the range between 7 to 10 as we have guided. It is still within that range in the first half. We do expect moving ahead that price, we will get some price increase in second half, and therefore we hope that in the second half our EBITDA per ton should be a bit better than the first half. But I'll ask Mr. Singla to take over some numbers and add to some highlights if he would like to, and then we'll open for question and answer. Singla?
Thank you, sir. Welcome to all the investors for, on this Q2 earning call of our company, and I wish all of you a very, very happy Diwali. And on numbers, this quarter is more or less same as previous quarter, quarter one. In terms of revenue, there is a marginal increase of rupees 6 crores, which is a combination of increase in quantity by about 1,600 tons and a reduction in price by the OEM, already explained by Sajita. Secondly, on this PAT, it's almost same as was in quarter one at 36 crores and 18 crores respectively. This quarter, the dividend has also been approved by the shareholders, and accordingly, the same has been paid on 29th of September. This quarter, we have taken a shutdown in the beginning of July for about 13 days, and in this shutdown was primarily for the rolling mill to carry out refractory lining of the furnace, and also along with that, we have also replaced one transformer in the 66 kV substation. As a result, this quarter also we are well within the range of 7,500 tons of EBITDA. So that's all on numbers. I would request now the question answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ritwik Sheth from One Up Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good morning, sir. Firstly, sir, wishing you happy Diwali to the entire team. So, a couple of questions from my end. So, firstly, you mentioned about the approval from Suzuki that you have received for substitution of the imported material. So, would it be possible to share something on this, and you know, what can be the potential volume that we could do in say this year or next year?
So see, approval has two processes. The first process is technical approval, which is the beginning, which is necessary and not sufficient. But this is important that now you are amongst the one or two, I mean a couple of companies that are being considered. So volume will then be decided by the supply chain when the substitution starts and how much share comes to us. That is not yet clear. But the important hurdle has been crossed that we have got approved for now very sensitive grades within Suzuki system. Okay. And this approval has come from Suzuki Japan.
From Suzuki Japan, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
But we will be eventually supplying to Maruti Suzuki, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The supply is to the Maruti. But I'm saying that these kind of sensitive grades, which was imported from Japan, the approval comes from Suzuki, Japan.
Right, right.
Okay. And this is something which is important for the country also, that eventually, then roughly, this steel was almost about 24,000 tons per year being imported into the country.
Okay, okay.
So that steel will be spread between maybe two suppliers.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, two or maybe three, but we are there. That's the point I'm making is that we are not approved. But the other advantage is, with this approval coming in, the probability of other grades also coming to us increases from within the country. So the possibility of our trying to increase our share in Maruti Suzuki would be better after this.
Okay. So congratulations on this, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah. And sir, so with the EU OEM that you mentioned, how far are we in the approval process? If you can throw some light on that also.
Normally, this process will take at least a year. And so suffice it to say, the samples have gone, the first two heats. And it will be interesting for investors here to know this. And you'll understand the sophistication of the buyer. The steel is going to Japan.
Okay.
And it will be forged there, machined there, and then from Japan gone to Europe.
Okay.
So, it obviously is a high-end automaker.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, of course, they will try to find some source in India for forging and machining. But the initial trial is gone to Japan, and from Japan going to Europe.
Okay. Okay.
And also will be used for some electric vehicles.
Electric vehicles. Thank you.
Okay, that is great as well. Then one last question. So in the opening remarks, I missed it, but you mentioned that there was a price reduction of 5,000 rupees per ton in Q2, which has already been reflected. But going forward, you expect the prices to increase and EBITDA per ton should be better in H2. Did I get this right?
Yes. So it's 5,000 to 6,000. So some OE is given taken a 6,000 rupee reduction, and some OE 5,000 reduction.
Okay, sir.
So all price reductions, which is obviously if an increase of 3,000 in Q1 and a reduction of 5 to 6 in Q2, all that has been accounted for in Q2.
Okay.
So there's nothing pending in Q3, and we expect an increase in Q3. Because even our competitors, their costs have gone up significantly. Coking coal has gone up, iron ore has gone up, and the letters for increase that have gone to the OEs are ranging between 5,000 rupees to about 6,600 rupees a ton. That's the range of increase being asked for by various special steel suppliers. I'm not saying this is the kind of increase that will come. I'm saying this is the kind of letters that have gone to the OEs. Then, of course, there's a process of negotiation will begin, and we'll see. But the point is, we are not the only ones asking for an increase. The entire industry, every company in the industry is asking for an increase.
Got it. Okay, so all the best, and thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Prolin Nandu from Goldfish Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sajid ji. Thank you for taking my question. A few questions from my side. One is that, you had mentioned in Q4 that, or maybe in Q1, that this will be the year of consolidation in some sense.
Correct.
So when I look at your H1 numbers, volumes are also down and EBITDA per ton also on a year-on-year basis is down. So is it fair that large part of that consolidation has taken place in H1 and from H2 onwards, we will see some growth both in terms of volumes and in terms of EBITDA per ton as well?
So the volume part, it comes in the consolidation, not the EBITDA part. And the consolidation process will continue for the full year. We have some shutdowns coming again for our in our rolling mill will come up in Q3, so November end, December beginning. There's a shutdown for single about 15 days.
Yes, it will be for 15 days for putting up two stands.
Yeah, so we are adding these two stands. So as we told you, we said earlier that our melting CapEx has been done, but the major CapEx remaining is for the rolling mill. So the rolling mill CapEx is beginning. So the first shutdown will happen in Q3 of this year. The next shutdown will happen in Q4 of next year. Sorry, Q3 of next year. So we are adding two stands just now. Then we'll be adding the KOKS block and the reheating furnace. So those all equipment will be added, which will together enable our capacity to go up to 240,000 to 250,000 tons of rolled product. So this will continue to be a year of consolidation as far as volumes are concerned. And I'm very happy that we took that decision, because as the proportion of Aichi business, Toyota business is increasing, the smooth running of lines is very important. You'll be happy to note that the president of Aichi Steel Division, he is here for our board meeting. He came in, and he informed our team members that so far, the switchover for Toyota from Aichi to Vardhman Steel has gone off smoothly. So they haven't reported a single incident. Now, this is a big achievement for any Indian company to achieve a switchover in Toyota without any major problems so far. Fingers crossed, that is our most important business objective just now for our future, that the switchover process, which is going to take place over the next 2 years, keeps on happening smoothly as more products are added and the switchover gets complete. So the whole switchover will finish for this platform for Toyota, will finish by 2025 end. So 25, 26 is the financial year where you see the full impact of the volumes and the switchover and so on. So
Sure.
the margins, as you said, EBITDA per ton is based on the pricing and negotiations which the OEs force on us. Now, as you will notice that we've got two large players, Tata Steel and Tata Motors, from the same group. And perhaps one can only conjecture from outside that since Tata Motors was under financial pressure earlier, maybe Tata Steel was under pressure to support their group company a bit. One doesn't know. But overall, we find that all the steel companies have shown poorer results. We are all pushing for this increase. So we expect, that is the reason we expect H2 performance to be better. So if we get the price increase that we're looking at, we should get come back to moving towards the upper end of our range in H2.
Sure, sir. So that whole pricing
Mid to upper end.
Oh, yeah. So that pricing mechanism and how the whole pricing thing takes place, where the OEM will ask for quotes from one of you guys, right? In some sense, one of the suppliers, and then do the selection. That mechanism has not changed. Am I correct, sir? Is that fair to understand?
It's just that the OEs have become more cautious, and they wait for one of the suppliers to break. But we were fortunate that this time we didn't come under too much pressure, but still we have reduced prices, I would say, a little bit more than what was warranted. But everybody wants now to move to a formula that it happens automatically and with more predictability. So we'll be trying in Q3 and Q4 to move to a formula-based system with Maruti and Hero and any other OE that is interested, so that the prices change automatically without too much of pressure. There's predictability, better predictability.
And if nobody breaks, that possibility is real.
Then once the formula is fixed, Once the formula is fixed, then there's no question of anybody breaking.
Great. So then that will bring us a lot more predictability in terms of...
Yes. And then I think once that happens, then we'll also be able to narrow our range, because many of the investors have asked us that, you know, this range of 7 to 10 is a very wide range. They would like to see a narrower range. And I agree. Even I would like to see a narrower range. So once, if a formula gets fixed and gets arrived at, I think we'll be able to narrow this range of guidance. But the other interesting part that I'm reasonably pleased about is that we have maintained our EBITDA to capital employed very close to 20%. We are just short of 20, I think. As we said, that our target is 20% EBITDA on capital employed. By the year 25, 26, which is now quite near, we can't escape it. Our target is that we would like to reach a 25% EBITDA on capital employed.
Great, so that's good to know.
So as of now, we still stand by that target.
Sure, great, sir.
But that is a target. It is not a guidance.
Fair point. I mean, all the best, sir. Hope you reach that target.
Yeah.
The second
Thank
question
you.
Would be on this whole Suzuki part, right? I mean, where you mentioned that you have gotten approval for that particular grade, and 24,000 ton was something that was imported. And now, if I understand correctly, in certain period of time, all of this 24,000 ton will be supplied locally by either two or three suppliers.
Yes.
What could be the timeline for this entirely moving to India? And also, secondly, sir, how many such different grades of tons are still imported where we are working on? What could be the size of this opportunity of import substitution, if you might help us? And is it that since 10% of our company is owned by Daiichi, does that mean that we'll always be in and around the Japanese ecosystem and won't be able to move to Korean? How does that work? If you can just help us understand this whole import.
So there are several questions out here. So let me answer those questions one by one. So the most of the steels which have been imported, used by the auto OEs, have been largely localized, largely, except for some in Hyundai, but otherwise most of the vehicles largely localized. And if I understand correctly, I could be wrong, but my understanding is that this particular grade was the last large chunk of steel being imported, amongst the last. As far as anything size, there'll be some smaller amounts here and there, but so that opportunity would be closed after, would largely be over. I will not say closed. And this substitution should take place over the next 2 to 3 years. Government of India pressure is there on all the OEs to localize the steel. It may happen even faster. Now, second, Aichi owns about 11.4% in Vardhman Steel. And eventually they will take increase their stake within the next 2 to 3 years at the right opportunity. They will be increasing the stake to roughly 20-odd%. That is my estimation. At the right time when I think when they're fully satisfied, that is my, again, my feeling. Once they're fully satisfied that we have successfully switched over, the entire business of, Aichi to Vardhman for this platform of Toyota. Once that switchover is complete and running smoothly, that would be the right time, I guess. So we are definitely getting better, stronger, more stronger, strongly linked to the Aichi and therefore Toyota and therefore Japanese system. However, that in nowhere precludes us from serving other OEs. In fact, this European OE, which is a big OE, our partners, Aichi, are as excited about this as we are. And we're getting full support from them. See, we are a steel company. And we look for where opportunity comes for us. So we will support Japanese companies as that is the dominant automakers in the country. if India was a dominating European oriented car market, I'm sure whether we were owned by Japanese or anybody, we'd be supplying to the European companies. But India is largely a Japanese dominated market. Now, the other large company from multinational company is Hyundai. We are approved in Hyundai. In fact, to my understanding, we are the only Indian company.
Excuse me, sir. Your audio is not...
Of course, other companies also supplying the steel, but through some tier ones. So we are approved by Hyundai, and we are supplying to Hyundai and Kia, both.
Sure, sir. So you said that there is some part of Hyundai which they still import. Is there a scope for import substitution there? And outside the automobile ecosystem, right, in some sense, are there any other grades of special steel which is still imported which we are also looking at?
No, we at present are not looking at any non-auto business. As you all are aware, that we will be running into a capacity constraint in 2 years' time. So we are certainly not looking for any non-auto business. And we are having strategies in place to cope up with the time when we run into capacity shortage.
Sure. And just one last point. So you are saying that this whole program of a platform that we are doing right now with Toyota will sometime end in the year FY25. Am I correct, sir? Did I get that number right?
Financial year 25, so which sorry, calendar year 25, so it will happen by end, so by the financial year 25-26.
Okay, so financial year 25-26. All right, Sajidji, yes. Thanks a lot and all the best, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Radha from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on the Suzuki approval. Sir, my question was that I was also understanding that around 4 million tons of specialty steel is currently getting imported in India. But based on the conversations that we had just now, is it a correct understanding that a majority of this import is for the non-auto part, which is not a target market for you?
I would not be having the full information to answer that question. See, my concern is with our product mix, which is alloy steel bars. Now, there are lots of other categories of special steel that we are not present in those categories. So tool and die steel is really largely imported. A lot of steel gets imported for defense needs. Wire rods, specialized wire rods get imported. So there are lots of other categories of special steel that get imported.
Okay, sir. And sir, secondly, what would be the mix for sourcing the fuel as of now? Because we have recently shifted to natural gas. So what would be the mix now and how do you see this mix change in the coming
years? I'm sorry, herbal? Can I repeat? Misheard. You can repeat your question. What is the mix of fuel?
Yes, sir. We are using natural gas.
Correct. So it's largely natural gas what you're using. So the biggest consumption of fuel in a steel plant is in the reheating furnace.
Natural gas.
The reheating furnace is completely on natural gas. The second area, so the others are minor areas, so which is also mostly run on gas. There's just a bit of furnace oil being used, but that's furnace oil or diesel, Stigla? Is it diesel or furnace oil which is being used?
Everywhere we have switched over to natural gas, and also in the last quarter, we have switched over to the mechanical pump instead of boiler,
yeah,
which was running on furnace oil. So as of today, we are not using any furnace oil. So it is 100% yeah, natural gas in all processes.
Okay, sir. And sir, last question was that given that we are looking for some, like you mentioned, 15 days of shutdown, so any plans to outsource any capacities or
So all that is already planned. So we have a stock build up happening, as happened in preparation of the Q2 shutdown. So Q1, if you'll see, our finished goods inventory were higher than normal. So again, now we'll be building up some stock, and we will be doing some outside rolling to make sure. So because we are critical suppliers, so we make sure that our customers are taken care of. And more importantly, this shutdown is after Diwali. So once the peak purchases are over, that's right time to take a shutdown. So there will not be that much of pressure in terms of requirements from the customers.
Okay, sir. Thanks for all the best.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Mudit Bhandari from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you. My question is more regarding on the macro front of steel. So if we see the Chinese steel exports has not decreased, it has earlier announced to production cuts maintaining the same level of earlier, but it is not yet done, and Indian demand is strong. So ultimately, when the demand falls or when the global scenario is hit India, steel prices might be subdued, and secondly, demand also. So what's your take on that?
So what you are saying would be true for the macro and the commodity steel market. But in the auto market, at least our forging quality steel, it is highly service oriented and a very wide variety of products. That is approval based business. So this business has rarely had imports from Chinese companies, and unlikely to be in the future.
Okay, and majority of our products are going to auto sector only, right?
All.
Okay, got
it. Not majority, it is almost 97-98%.
Okay, got it. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Nishant Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. So, talking about our EBITDA, can you give any estimate for in the second half of the year? Somewhere, I guess, in the range of 8,000 or 9,000, as it was guided by you.
Beyond a point, I can't give any guidance because all depends on the price negotiations that happen. But the indication we've given is it will be higher. The second half will be better than first half. And yes, by all surmising, overall, second half, if things go well, should be between around 8 to 9,000 rupees.
Okay. And talking about the solar power plant which we were going to install, any update on the same?
So we are very close to finalizing everything. I would think within we will be trying within November, but otherwise clearly within before 15th December we would be done by then.
All right. That is all. Thank you.
With that, roughly 50%. Our hope is, our plan is about 50% of our power will shift to solar power by before March next year, and hopefully before December. March meaning March 25. So before December of 24, this should come on stream.
Okay. Noted. Thank you. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one if you wish to ask a question.
And sorry if I may add to this. And obviously, on the solar front, the cost of solar power is going to be lower than the current grid cost of electricity you're buying. So we will be saving costs on the power front. At present, we are not at liberty to share how much amount, but it's a reasonable amount that we'll be saving.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Supan Parekh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I would like to ask, with 160 crores of CAPEX, where do you see the total rolling meal capacity moving towards?
Rolling meal capacity will cross towards 50,000 tons.
Okay. So, like, go on.
But our current billet availability, the way we see it, will be around 260,000 tons at the peak.
Okay.
So from that, we should be able to serve about 230,000 to 240,000 tons.
Okay. Yeah. And
then we'll see, once we reach those levels, then we'll see whether we need to buy billets from outside for certain less strategic customers.
Okay. And can you tell us me about the raw material prices at present?
Raw material prices, shredded scrap, $100 to $410. Local scrap HMS that we buy is currently around 38,000 rupees a ton. Could be 37 and a half to 38,000 rupees a ton. Those are the main scraps that we buy, shredded and with an MSTB, which is turning and boring, would be about 36,000 rupees a ton.
Yes.
Okay.
Singla, am I right? Singla?
Yes. Yes, sir. You're right.
Okay.
Okay. The last question I would like to ask, like, has there any decrease in price received from the OEMs?
Yes. As I already said, Q2 prices have been reduced.
Okay. So is there any impact of this likely to in the second half as well?
No. All the entire impact has come in Q2.
Okay.
Q3, we expect a price increase. And therefore, we expect an improvement in margin in Q3.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prolin Nandu from Goldfish Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Sajid ji, thanks a lot for giving me this opportunity again. Just wanted to understand, how should one look at the year FY25, right? Because if I'm not wrong, your rolling mill capacity will come up in the sometime in mid or after the first quarter of FY25. So just from a volume and a mix point of view, EBITDA per ton is entirely dependent on how the pricing approval comes from OEMs. But from a volume and a mix point of view, what are the things that we should look out for in the year FY25?
I think we'll be targeting about 210,000 tons.
Okay. And in terms of mix, any change in mix that you would be expecting?
No, the mix towards cars would be increasing. The proportion of cars would be continuously increasing.
Okay. So apart from that, no significant in terms of numbers coming from Toyota and Suzuki, right? That would be more.
No, that is constantly increasing. That substitution, we are on track for the final target of roughly 30,000 tons of steel going to Aichi.
Okay. Because it's sir, in FY23 also we see the volume of around 200.
Sir, sorry to interrupt, but you have a lot of disturbance coming in through your line, sir.
Okay.
From my line?
Is it better now?
Sir, from the line of the participant. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes.
Is it better now?
Yes, better now.
Yeah, I'm sorry for that. You are saying that you will do somewhere around 210,000 tons. Am I correct?
Yes, that's the rough idea just now. We haven't looked at next year so closely. So if you're asking me a question, that's the first number that comes off the top of my head.
Okay. The reason why I'm probably asking you this question is that we did a similar sort of a number in FY23 as well, right? I mean, maybe 5% give and take. So given that...
Yeah, we did 200,000 tons.
So we'll be doing a 5%...
A 5% increase is a 5% increase.
Sure. All right, sir. Just one.
So it'll be between, it could be 210, it could be 215, but I mean, that's the ballpark number. At max, 210 to 220, not more than that.
Okay, okay. That's it, Sajidji. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Yes. Just had a couple of questions. Hi, sir. You spoke about the rolling mill, the shutdown that we had had. So any chance that it would have any improvement in terms of efficiencies or...
No. This is normal standard shutdown, which happens every 1.5 years for lining of the refractory. So every 1.5 years, we have a 15-day shutdown.
Understood.
Yes. But the ones coming in Q3 this year is not the normal shutdown. This shutdown is for placing those two stands in line.
Okay, sir. And this would be for about 2 weeks, you said, right?
Yeah, about 2 weeks shutdown. Okay. And therefore, there will be some costs associated with that in Q3.
Okay. And once the plant is operational again, the operational efficiency would be similar to what it is right now?
It will gradually improve because with these two stands, we hope to lead to some changes in our rolling process, a softer reduction, which is better for, supposed to be better for quality.
And also will increase in production capacity of the rolling mill by about 8,000 to 10,000 tons in a year.
Understood. So this would come into effect maybe Q3 or Q4 at max.
Yeah, Q4. So gradually Q3 from Q4.
Q3 is the shutdown which is going to happen in November and December, and by the time it stabilizes, Q3 is over. So the impact. This is just a capacity increase. It's not necessary that we'll be producing that much more or selling that much more.
Understood. And not much impact on processing costs, etc. also, right?
No.
Okay. Just one other thing, sir. On the front of our relationship with IG, if you look at revenue share coming in from IG separately, if there is a bifurcation there that you can share?
No. We don't look at that. We don't report that.
All right, sir. And any
revenue we have given an idea. Last year was about Singla. How much was it? This year should be about 12,000 to 15,000 tons.
This year it will be the 8,000 to 10,000 tons.
8,000 to 10,000 tons. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Going to IG specifically.
Yes, but that gets reported as domestic sales. It doesn't get reported as exports.
Understood, sir. And our access to Southeast Asian markets through IT, is that also there?
It is increased. Of course it is increased. This is also going to Southeast Asia. It is domestic sale. Why it is a domestic sale is because Toyota Group deals through their trading company, Toyota Tsusho.
Understood, sir.
Our sales are to Toyota Tsusho India, who export the steel out.
Understood. And have they given any sort of indication about their plans to change, sort of expand their stake in our company, or that's not on the horizon?
No, this is already part of our agreement, which was signed in 2019. Yeah, that they will be increased the stake subsequently in the next phase. So this is nothing new that I'm sharing.
So, no, in terms of timelines, they're not mentioned. Anymore.
Timelines, no, they have not indicated anything. These are only my estimation. If I was in their position, when would I want to increase my stake?
Okay, understood, sir.
This is my purely my guesstimate based on if I was sitting in their place, when would I want to increase the stake? When I see something concrete. So start getting approval from Toyota is important. Then starting the supplies was important. Then seeing the consistency in supplies is important. Then reaching the complete switchover of this particular platform. These are the important milestones. So in all probabilities, and since in Aichi, a new president has just taken over. So he's taken over in June this year. So a new president has taken over. Obviously, it will take time to get full control of everything. So ideally, I guess when the full switchover happens, that would be the right time. And anyway, we don't need any capital. As you can see, right, we are already a debt equity of net debt equity of 0.2.
Right.
And even with this entire expansion that we are planning, our total capital employed will not exceed, currently it's about 800 crores. Singla, am I right?
Yes.
And it is unlikely to cross 900 crores despite the full capex that we are planning. So my target will be to keep the total capital employed below 900 crores. So we really don't need any equity.
Understood. Right.
So ideally, again, when some major capex is being cited, being thought of, the next stage of all that. So that would be another trigger. So the I would say there are two triggers when the capex could, when their capital would come in. One, when the complete switchover happens, which will be sometime in 25 end. So that is one possibility around that time. And the second possibility is when the plans get concretized to put up a new plant or some major capex happens or some such thing. So that's the that's the other logical time. Which so in my opinion, both should happen around the next 2 to 3 years time.
Understood. Fair enough. Just one last question I had, sir. You've spoken about this many times in the past. It has been asked a lot, and you know, we know your opinion. Just wanted you to weigh in on the electric vehicle impact. If you see any, if there's any difference in how you look at it now compared to what your opinion has been in the past.
My view remains that in India, it will be much slower than what most people, the forecasts have been. In India, I'm talking purely India. And I believe hybrid vehicles is the right way to go forward. And hopefully at some stage the government would realize that you can't continue to give subsidies of 23% reduction in GST over the next, I mean, how can you subsidize cars, expensive cars? These are 15 lakh cars or 20 lakh rupees cars. So giving massive subsidies on cars in a country like ours is difficult. So, however, we have focused totally on the EV sector in terms of some of the key tier ones who are supplying components and gears for the EV sector. So we are fully focused on them, and we'll continue to keep increasing our share of EV in our mix. Currently, we are between around 7 to 8% of our steel is going to the EV sector.
Got it. Understood.
And with this approval coming in next year, which is from this European major, that will be a big increase in, again, increasing our proportion of sales to EV.
Understood. All right. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking my questions. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let me add to this answer. Again, my personal views don't matter too much because we are a steel player anyway, and we are catering to all demands of customers. We are placed for any kind of steel requirement, whether it's for combustion engines, whether it's for hybrids, whether it is for EV. And so we are prepared whichever way the steel auto demand shape goes, and we are prepared to supply steel to that sector as the requirement goes. And the other thing to keep in mind is Maruti has already announced doubling of their capacity. So even if EVs come in and there is a proportion of EVs higher than what we estimate, overall still the need for special steel in India is going to increase significantly in the next 7 years. Yeah, go ahead. The next question, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one if you wish to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Manoj Rajani, an individual.
There is someone who needs to be muted. There is some noise coming in.
Yes, I'll check on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mr. Manoj Rajani, your line has been unmuted. You may proceed with your question.
Yeah. Thank you so much, sir, for the opportunity. So, sir, it's a small question, but wanted to ask you, what has led to the other expenses as a relatively as a percentage of sales increasing in this quarter?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, please?
Yes. So, what has led to the other expenses increased as a percentage of sales relatively?
Those are marginal changes. Nothing major has happened. Singla, if you can answer that question.
Yes,
nothing major has happened in this quarter. When you are comparing with the percentage, so revenue is lower because of decrease in the prices. That is one part. And secondly, in this quarter, about 2 to 3 crores rupees will be higher because of the Jowar charges, which we have explained that because there was a shutdown of our rolling mill, so we have arranged more rolling from outside on Jowar basis.
Alright, so it's a one-time thing, right, sir?
Yes, but yes, part of it will come again in Q3. And power tariff also has gone up in Punjab in April. So that is another reason compared to last year, the power tariff has gone up. One more thing, because of raw material price variations, we have increased the component of one of the inputs in terms of scrap mix, where the cost is lower but power consumption is higher. So those are other reasons, and some other consumables also go up. So raw material price reduces on that account. So I mean, there are so many factors which influence these things. So that's why I said there's nothing major as far as management attention is going. There's nothing major.
All right, sir. And so just another thing that we have, over the long term period, we have almost paid a good amount of long term borrowing. But this quarter we have, seems that short-term borrowing has increased. So, any particular reason?
Yes. This quarter we have made a short-term investment of rupees 50 crores in two funds just to offset our carry-forward short-term capital loss of about 3.5 crores in our books. So, within a 6 months' time, so we will be able to get short-term capital gain on these investments, and accordingly we'll be able to offset the short-term carry-forward loss. So by March, again, you will be seeing that the borrowing will be at its original level. Rather, it's below on 31st March levels.
Okay, sir. All right. Sir.
And that is why, if you'll notice, I always speak of net debt because I look at net debt figures, not at gross debt.
Yes, sir. I agree that it has been decreasing on a long-term view. So, last thing, if you can provide the revenue contribution from exports and any particular region that has been contributing heavily.
So, exports is about 5% roughly. Roughly
5%. Okay. It's 5% exports, yes.
All right, sir. Yeah, that's it from my side as of now. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Ritwik Sheth from One Up Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so just one quick follow-up. Any update on the greenfield plant?
No, as of now, nothing.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
As I said, I guess everyone is waiting for all these results with Toyota to come in. So that is the big trigger once this switchover happens completely. But let me share that the positive indications that IG team is getting when they're meeting their customers. In fact, today afternoon we're basically going to visit Maruti along with the president of IG Steel, the steel division president. So, the kind of inputs we are getting from customers is very positive. So we feel every such visit, when they come to make up their mind about the future, the positivity towards India seems to be increasing. Even Toyota Tsusho, the Japanese trading company for Toyota Group, their top management is sending top people continuously to India to look at investment opportunities in India. I was in Japan in August 10 and September beginning. Clearly, the positive view towards India in terms of manufacturing investments is increasing everywhere. So all that is positive for India, which I think is positive for India as a whole, as well as I would say for our country.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. As we have no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Mudit Bhandari for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Norman. Thank you everyone for joining this call. If Mr. Sachit then would like to add some comments, or else we can close this call.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again for showing interest in our company. We are not very happy with the results of the first half, though it is within our guidance, but as I said, it's towards the lower end of our guidance, and we strive to improve this performance that we can be in the middle or upper end of the range. And of course, we are excited about the way the business is continuing and the opportunities ahead of us, primarily because of renewable and sustainability effort, ESG effort coming in. We expect the next year or two to actually see business gains out of this. But thank you all, and we will see you again in January. Okay.
Thank you. On behalf of IIFL Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.